8464CA.
Yes, it is 17 minutes to 10 here on 8464CA. Gavin King with you, normally in the chair of the King Review, thanks to Sure Insurance, but during May, filling in for Macca, all thanks to Pacific Toyota. Now, this issue of, well, there's lots of issues rolled into one, really, and they're all not very good. That is the housing crisis, population growth, and how do we accommodate that? We're running out of land, obviously. It's just such a huge issue, a very complex issue, but it's so important for the future of our town. So we're going to continue that debate today. Had some great calls and discussions on it over the last few days. Local town planner James McPeak, he's owner of James McPeak Town Planning, joins me on the line now. James, I was keen to have a chat to you. I know you've done a bit of work over the last couple of years about land supply. How much land exactly do we have left? And I know that you and I have spoken about it over the last 12 months or so. Mate, just keen on a bit of an update, a bit of a recap. But where are we at in terms of future land supply? How much land have we got left?
Yeah, hi, Gavin. It's good to be back on the show. I think from my review that I did before COVID started, we suggested that greenfield land, so, you know, land for new residential subdivisions, you know, the Mount Eda and the like, that's, you know, we've got land out there and that's pretty much the last remaining broad hectare areas that are really left in Cairns. And Cairns averages around the requirement of around 1,000 new dwellings, whether that's apartments or houses, a year. Mm. And like the way we're currently going, I would say that, you know, we would probably have less than 5 years of land supply left.
Mm. Wow.
So it's actually quite a serious like predicament Cairns is in.
Mm. And right, so I guess there's a few little, you know, infill developments that could happen, perhaps some, you know, smaller, you subdivide those bigger blocks. But for the most part, as you said, those big greenfield sites, there's just not many left at all.
That's right.
Yeah,
on the northern beaches is all gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's really the last broad hectare areas, just pretty much, just Mount Peter.
Well, lots of questions unfurling after that statement. Only, approximately 5 years. It's hard to be exact, of course, but certainly, the land availability really running out at the moment. Now, tell me, James, we had a bit of a discussion. Now, it's a little bit of a sacred cow, so I don't know how deep you want to delve into it, but the issue of, we obviously have a lot of cane fields on the northern beaches, and we know that they're very prone to flooding almost once a year sometimes. We had a caller from Mations Beach saying you absolutely cannot build anything on those huge tracts of cane farming there. I mean, is that something that we should ever look at and consider building, developing some of those cane fields north of, in the northern suburbs? Northern beaches?
Look, it's a great question, and I personally don't like ruling anything out, but my understanding of it is, and I studied here at JCU in Cairns, and we had a natural hazards professor, and he told us the stories of, you know, during the 1970s, how there was quite a large flood, and that large flood, you could hop in your tinny from Yorkeys Knob and drive supposedly all the way over the Barron River and near the airport.
Yeah,
so
right.
that kind of shows you how big the floodplain is.
Exactly.
So saying that, there are floodplains change and the way water moves changes as a result of development along the floodplain. Mm. And sometimes my understanding as well is that the way the Barron River is currently going, it's currently trying to push through and it's deepening to Martyrs Creek.
Right.
And so the Barron River may change its position.
Mm.
But I think the floodplain issue is still there. I think everything can still and should still be reviewed. And the process of going through a development application with council is, council will rightly say, you know, this proposed development or proposed subdivision is located in a flood zone. Mm. You need to demonstrate to us through, you know, hydrological assessments that the future development could provide the new residents a level of safety. Mm. And I would hazard to guess that would be quite difficult in the Barron River Delta.
All right, very well explained. Interesting as well, isn't it? The Barron River trying to change its course. Mm-hmm. We might have to dig into that on another segment. Very, very interesting indeed. What about the Tablelands, James? I mean, is that, you know, of course it would need something like the Caranda Range Road or an alternate route to up the hill to be developed. But, you know, is that something that Cairns needs to look at given this dire shortage of land over the next, well, next few years?
Yeah, well, the state government are currently reviewing the Far North Queensland Regional Plan, which is the state government statutory document that informs local governments and the communities as to where appropriate urban development can occur. And that document seeks to balance all of the different, you know, environmental, agricultural, social, you know, requirements. So that could be opportunities for the state government to review the potential urban land supply in areas like Mareeba, and also on the Tablelands. There is land out there, and I know the Tablelands Regional Council are incentivising certain types of development in their shire to increase more medium density housing. I think from a detached housing perspective, there would probably be a significant ample supply of available sites in the Tableland Shire and the Mareeba Shire. Some of those shires have different appetites. I believe that sometimes there's more of an appetite for larger rural residential blocks, so maybe like greater than 4,000 metres squared or closer to 1 hectare or 2 hectares in some of those areas. But that obviously comes with a significant cost to council and the ratepayers for the infrastructure. And obviously, if we put more people up on the Tablelands, a large percentage of those would be coming down the Caranda Range to Cairns to go to work and to school and to other, you know, social things. So the Caranda Range is still a very significant piece of infrastructure that the state government needs to seriously consider. What's happening with the Caranda Range?
Yeah.
Whether it's not the Caranda Range, whether there's another opportunity. So if there is another opportunity for a new road, I think the community, the region, and the entire region, so just not the Far North region, we're talking up to the Cape. It's a regional piece of infrastructure. So we need to figure out what that solution is because that's what we need. We need that road link. But we also need the infrastructure that goes with it, so, you know, water and sewage for future.
I mean, how many bloody feasibility studies and plans and ideas and concepts do we need before someone, some level of government, bites the bullet and takes some decisive action? I mean, bloody hell, it's been going on for decades, probably. Caranda Range, my goodness.
It has, yeah. From my memory, maybe around 2009 or 2010, they did a full plan of a redesign and upgrade of the entire Caranda Range. And I don't know what happened to that. I think it might have got canned by like the Greens.
It's gathering dust on a shelf somewhere, James. That's what happened to it, unfortunately. Now, tell me about, we're going to have to go up, aren't we, sooner rather than later? There's going to have to be some medium to higher density development in Cairns because we will just run out of land sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. That is the key, and that is one of the main stumbling blocks, unfortunately, in Cairns, is the cost of construction of medium density is more than double the, you know, what you could reasonably sell it, sell it for. So there is a cost problem there, which needs to be looked at, and the Cairns Regional Council have done some work on that, and they have just recently put out their new development incentives policy, where they are waiving up to 100% of infrastructure charges for medium density development. So that can save developers hundreds of thousands of dollars. And when we're looking at the hurdles of bringing in medium density housing, that's a big cost. And there are some in the community who, you know, say, oh, why is the council handing out all these incentives to developers? You know, it comes at a significant cost, but a lot of these locations are already serviced by infrastructure. So there is infrastructure capacity in a lot of these networks of sewerage and water. And so, you know, it is still
offset. So they save costs. They save ratepayers costs there. They're not having to fork out for new infrastructure.
That's right, yeah, services, especially for new greenfield. You know, like if you're doing a 100 lots of new houses in a cane paddock, it's going to cost, you know, millions of dollars to service that. So it's it is a cost-benefit exercise for council to incentivise medium-density development.
Very, very interesting indeed. All right, James, now before you go, is council doing enough? What else would you like to see, or state government as well, what else would you like to see to help us address population growth and accommodating all of the new residents over the next, well, next couple of decades, in fact?
Look, I think one of the real keys that's holding back Cairns Regional Council at the moment and their long-term planning is this update to the regional plan.
Yeah.
So the final Queensland regional plan was announced by the minister in March last year. And in my personal opinion, very little has been done by the department in way of progress. They've recently blamed the FNQ ROC organisation of councils for changing the scope. I would say that the state government didn't consult before they figured out how long this may take.
Get it right
They themselves didn't consult with the main stakeholders. So, you know, supposedly they're only now a couple of months into drafting it. So we really need the state government to actively, speed this process up. We still need to get it done properly. It still needs to go through the process and everyone needs to be consulted, the community as well. But as soon as the Cairns Regional Council gets that, they can then update their planning scheme because that'll show areas that may have changed, that may have gone from non-urban land to urban land. And then council can really do their nitty-gritty, in-depth strategic planning. So I just really hope the state government, you know, sticks to this timeline that they have given the industry as to when they're going to bring out the regional plan, and it's integral to the growth and sustainability of our region.
Yeah, sooner rather than later, putting it mildly. All right, James McPeak, fantastic update. Lots to unpack there. We really appreciate your insights today. Thank you.
Excellent, no worries.
That's James McPeak, owner of James McPeak Town Planning here in Cairns.